desert in the great American Southwest. I bid you all a good evening, good morning, good afternoon, wherever you may be in the known world and all its time zones. I'm Mark Bell, and this is a Friday night, Saturday morning edition of Coast to Coast AM, which will be very interesting, I guarantee. The show I had set for you on the day before Halloween, which I missed, with Brendan Cook and Barbara McBeth, who are ghost investigators, is going to be tonight in the next hour. And what they've done, and they have done for Halloween, was to gather together what they considered to be the scariest of all the electronic voice phenomena they've recorded in the years they've been doing it. And so it's going to be a pretty interesting show, I'll tell you that. It's been a pretty interesting day, I can tell you that. Going back to the program last night, just before airtime, as usual, I received some photographs which appeared to be of prisoners being transported by the U.S. military. And without comment, I put the photographs up on the website, just like I do with every other photograph. No comment up there, just here they are from an anonymous source. Well, then Matt Drudge quickly linked to my page, and then CNN picked up the story, and then everybody in the world picked up the story, and it was on all the networks. And here's the Associated Press version. The Pentagon today was investigating to find out who took and released photographs of terror suspects as they were flown in heavy restraints to the high-security prison in Cuba. Four photographs of prisoners, handcuffed, heads covered with black hoods, and bound on the floor of a cargo plane with nylon straps appeared overnight on the website of radio talk show host Art Bell. Quote, anonymous mailer sends us photos taken inside a military C-130 transporting POWs, the headline said. In fact, that's all it said. That's right. The new photos are the first giving a glimpse into security measures aboard any of the airplanes used this year as prisoners were transferred from Afghanistan and elsewhere around the world to Guantanamo Bay Naval Facility. It has long been known that prisoners were heavily restrained, and photos of prisoners bound and kneeling after arrival at the prison earlier this year created a stir among human and prison rights groups. Officials said the photos on the plane were not authorized for release. It wasn't clear whether they were official photos or were taken for personal use by an individual soldier. It is at least the third time prisoner photos have troubled the Pentagon. Defense Department has limited the news media in the kind of photos it can take of prisoners from the war in Afghanistan, arguing that photos subjecting the prisoners to humiliation violate the Geneva Convention. Well, of course, not very likely in this case, since they all had black hoods over their heads. Nobody was humiliated because nobody was identified. But, you know, number one, to be honest with you, their best move would have been just to say nothing. Because all they did was verify the authenticity of photographs. I had no idea whether they were authentic when I put them up. And if I'd been somebody at the Pentagon, I think I would have just said, ah, it's Art Bell, you know, don't say anything. Nobody will ever know if they're real or not. They didn't do that instead. Here you go, you know. So away we went with all the press of the world earlier today. Steve in Austin writes, along with the millions, so what's the big deal? These are people who vowed to kill us and tried to succeed. Shall we fly them first class with wine and cheese and three-course meals? Give me a break. They're lucky we didn't strap them to the wings. My own personal comment would be, you know, if you lose a few on the way, oops, there goes another one. Wouldn't have been any big deal. These are people who killed thousands of Americans. These are people who, along with Iraq, we're probably going to go to continued war with, or enhanced war with, I suppose, if we end up fighting a war with Iraq. And the U.N. Security Council unanimously did approve a resolution on Friday giving weapons inspectors all the muscle they're going to need for illicit weapons in Iraq. The vote was a major victory for us. The U.S. started a countdown toward disarmament or war. Now, of course, Iraq is making lots of Iraq-like noises, you know, that we're bullies and we're not going to respond to the U.S. bullying, bloodshed, blah, 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 typical stuff from Iraq. But when the rubber hits the road, and now they know when the rubber is going to hit the road, Iraq will have to say, yes, we will comply, and then they will have to each step along the way comply or else. So no, I put those photos up there without without comment. I think if you actually look at them, and I recommend you do, they're on my website at artbell.com. You'll see that in many ways, I think it's pretty humane treatment. I don't know what the Pentagon's embarrassed for. Looks pretty humane to me. If you look at the photographs, they've got blankets down there. They've even got little ear protectors like you have to have on a C-130 so that you don't lose your hearing or have your hearing harmed in any way during the flight. You've got to wear those in a C-130, you know. Yeah, no, there's no stewardess going down the aisle there serving them, you know, the beverage of their delight or whatever. But personally, if the back door had opened and a big wind had come along and the first four or five rows had gone, it wouldn't have bothered me. To me, it was just an interesting photograph of our military operating efficiently, that's all. And look here, the Pentagon gets all upset. I don't know. By the way, on the web page tonight, where those photographs are, you can also take a look at my webcam shot, which tonight is much better looking than me. This is my wife, Ramona, along with her familiar, Yeti. That's her familiar. This is quite a cat, I'll tell you. Anyway, there's Ramona. Much better to look at, I think, over the weekend. I'll leave it up through the weekend. Than my ugly puss. Now, remember that site, the March 8th site? I don't know. I'm sure a lot of you went up there to read about it. It was a guy with a story of the camera that he found, and then, well, actually, first a little piece of glass, and then he found the camera, and then, oh, my God, he found film, and he found film that's got stuff on it that's going to just change the entire universe, and there's going to be this big global announcement and all this stuff. Well, the website is suddenly history, disappeared, broken links. So what do we conclude from that? Somebody got to it. The guy got so many hits he couldn't pay for the bandwidth. I don't know what we conclude from this, but we'll keep an eye on that website and see if it comes back up. This is very interesting, very interesting. What do you think space smells like? You ever consider that? Space. Really shouldn't have any smell, right? Wrong. Again, this is very interesting from CNN.com. Headline, spacewalkers describe smoky, bitter smell of space. This is so interesting. While busy playing host to visiting cosmonauts, wrapping up experiments, and packing for home after nearly 6 months in orbit, the residents of the International Space Station took a breath to talk with CNN space correspondent Miles O'Brien. And here are just a few highlights from his long-distance chat with Peggy Whitson, I believe it is, W-H-I-T-S-O-N, Valerie Korzen, and Sergey Trushev. O'Brien, one of the things I've never heard anyone describe was the smell of space. And this is in reference to when you, Whitson, brought in your suit from a spacewalk and had a very distinct smell. I mean, we're talking about the vacuum of space, and yet it has an odor. Describe it for us. Whitson replies, some people call it kind of ozone-like. I wasn't sure what ozone was supposed to smell like, but it's kind of smoky and a little harsh, bitter smelling, and it lasts variable amounts of time. I noticed that it didn't last as long in the docking compartment after we had done three spacewalks out of the airlock here. But it's really interesting because it's very distinctive. O'Brien, I don't think a lot of people know what ozone smells like. Is there another way to describe it? You described it in a letter on a NASA website as almost a burn smell. It's just very interesting, I think, to those of us down here on Earth. Whitson replies, Corzine said, it's kind of like a smell from a gun right after you fire the shot. I think it almost has a bitter sort of smell in addition to being smoky and burned. Now, I thought those were extremely, extremely interesting responses. Now, why would space have a smell to it? There's no air. A smell can only be conducted by air. Well, now, wait a minute. She said she smelled this when she came inside the airlock. So that means that some substance or something in space has a smell, and when it's transported into an airlock where there is air, where it can be detected by the old human sniffer, we notice what it is, which means space does have a smell. Now, you wouldn't want to take off the old helmet and go, you know, because, well, you die, probably. There would be no air there. But once you brought it in to the air, space apparently attaches some kind of smell. And I thought that was extremely interesting. Well, what do you say? You want to do a few open lines? I'm open for, there is one more item. And then we're going to go and do open lines. So if you have anything you want to say on the radio before we begin the Odyssey, which will occur at the top of the hour, and it's going to be extremely interesting, then you're going to want to get on the phones about now. Moon rocks weren't enough. This, again, is from CNN. Bless their hearts. Moon rocks weren't enough. Neither was testimony from astronauts or even photographic evidence. So NASA has commissioned a mini book to show that, yes, indeed, Americans did land on the moon. Most Americans, most humans on Earth, except that U.S. astronauts first got to the moon aboard Apollo 11 mission on July 20th, 1969. But there are those who do not believe. And they've created a sort of cottage industry of doubts. And that's what NASA wants to combat. Said Roger Lanius, NASA's former chief historian, I've been concerned for some time that there was a story that's circulating about how we never landed on the moon, and we would get periodically calls from people about how to respond to it, from teachers and others. He wanted to put together something educational, but instead we're going to get an entire book convincing us that we did indeed go to the moon. And I wonder, really, you know, I've had people on the air, too, and they, you know, Wayne Green doesn't think we went to the moon. A lot of people feel that way. But do you really think that we need NASA to essentially write a book? Do we? You know, trying to convince us that we really did go to the moon? You know what I say? Let's go back. That's what I say. Let's go back. How come once we did go to the moon, we came home and gave it all up? And we haven't gone anywhere since. President's always looking for some kind of good rallying point, going back to the moon, then on to Mars. That's the way to do it. The reason people are curious and beginning to be in doubt about it, so much time has passed. It's natural. It seems incredible. Even then, I watched it, you know, on TV like everybody else. At home, watch the first step on the moon. It's incredible when you think about it, right? And maybe now so much time has gone by that it's becoming truly incredible. So incredible people can't believe it anymore. I don't know. West of the Rockies, you are on the air. Hello.
Hi, Richard here at Las Vegas.
Hey, Richard.
How are you tonight?
Just spiffy.
I knew you'd say that. I'm calling with a comment and a question for your ghost society people.
Oh, yes.
I had the pleasure, actually, of doing a feature film on Alcatraz.
Yes.
Many years ago. And while there, I inadvertently went into the old section of the prison, and I heard wails and noises, and I got really nauseous, and I didn't know it was the old section mm-hmm. of the prison. Mm-hmm. And I wondered if your people, these people, had been to that prison. I got on last time, but we got cut off in the middle of the...
All right, I'll ask them. Alcatraz, huh?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Very interesting place.
Have you heard some of the voices in past shows?
Absolutely.
What can you say about that? The whole thing. I mean, you know, they use recorders, they use blank tapes, they are not making money, they have no agenda that I've been able to discern in all the shows we've done other than to get this information out.
Well, to me it seems the more emotive types of dialogue that I hear is more reminiscent of what I heard. And what some of that is not really, there seems to be a sense of objectivity to what they have recorded, which
any,
I wonder
any,
what that
any,
means.
Any question in your mind about what you're hearing?
The only question I would ask is, how much emotive or sensitivity do they feel in the voices?
I got you. All right. Thank you very much. No, I actually meant any doubt about the fact that you're really hearing ghosts, but I don't think there was in his mind any doubt at all. I'll tell you kind of an interesting story. When Brennan Cook and Barbara Macbeth, and maybe you want to make note of this, just kill my own show here, my wife won't listen to it. She won't listen. She'll listen to a few of them. And then I'll tell you what her comments were. She said that she thinks listening to voices like this from the dead is going to psychologically set a person up to perhaps have a contact themselves along these lines. In other words, just the mere act of listening to it, she thinks, sets you up in a sort of a psychological mode, would be the word, to be in receipt of or to have a door open to you and to have some kind of experience. And I'm not sure that's incorrect, and so you might bear that one in mind. First-time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
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 Mark.
Yes.
Great to talk to you.
Glad to have you. What's up?
I just had to call one time before you went off the air. I've tried for years and never been able to. And
well, now you've made it.
Now made it. Made a little trip out to Pahrump this year. I loved your town.
It's a beautiful town, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think Pahrump is really growing. I mean, they're building 177,000 square foot Walmart. You know, we all go down and watch the progress of Walmart. I mean, Pahrump is just growing great. It's like it's going to be like Palm Springs. That's what it's going to be like. It's growing like crazy.
Yeah, it's amazing. We actually, I drive a truck for Walmart. As a matter of fact, we've actually considered transferring out in that area.
Maybe really?
But it was an amazing area. It was our first time out there, and we wandered around looking for radio towers all day and found your station. And it was interesting. It was a highlight of our trip. But
that'd be yes, sir.
I just want to say we're going to miss you. But
thank you.
Enjoyed it, and I appreciate everything you've done.
All right, take care. Plug time. KNYE 95.1 in Pahrump. That's what he came out and found. Out here in the middle of the desert. It is truly beautiful and quiet, and it's a great place. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello.
Hello there. All right,
yeah,
turn your radio off.
My radio is off.
Very good. Number two, tell us which highway you're on.
I'm in Hollywood, Florida.
Okay.
I was listening to your show the night before last.
Yes.
I don't know what the gentleman's name was. Anyway, what I want to talk about was us being psychic. In other words, and being able to go into in the future, travel in the past, the future.
Yeah, time travel.
Yeah, time travel.
What about it?
And there's a concept called like a isomorphism, in which we are information. And information can be transformed from one form to another form.
Sure.
So in essence, we are not actually the matter so much as we are the information.
Well, I'll tell you what. I've got a break here at the bottom of the hour, but I hope you are correct, because the alternative means that, as our very esteemed scientist said the other night, we just return to nothing when we die. I'm Art Bell, and this is Coast to Coast AM, rocking on through the nighttime.
Kingdom of Nye. From west of the Rockies, dial 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 1-800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach Art at 1-775-727-1222. Or use the wildcard line at 1-775-727-1295. To reach Art on the toll-free international line, call your AT&T operator and have them dial 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell on the Premier Radio Networks.
There's something about this phrase, these seven horses, I don't know what it is. Open lines from now to the top of the hour. You know the number. So get on the phone and let's rock. Seven horses sing. Oh, this is interesting. Now I hear the 8 March site, 2003, is back up again, and there's some kind of disclaimer on that. Very interesting. I wonder what's going on. Maybe he got so many hits, he got so much pressure. Well, whoever put that up, I told you, if you want to come on and tell at least this much of your story on the air, then contact me, and I will arrange it if your story justifies it. I'm Art Bell at Mindspring.com. That's how to get a hold of me, Art Bell. A-R-T-B-E-L-L at Mindspring.com. And if you don't, you have no guts. First-time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
This is Margaret calling from Denver.
Yo, Margaret.
Okay. I have a story that I've actually, as I've heard you and others talking over the years, I've always kind of wondered about it. And this happened to me when I was about... 19 years old, and my grandmother had just passed away.
Mm-hmm.
And I was sitting out in the backyard. Actually, she lived with us, so I had a very, very close relationship with her.
Okay.
And I was sitting out in the backyard contemplating all of this and with my boyfriend at the time, and all of a sudden, out of the corner of the garden, this huge ball of light, something like 5,000 times the size of a firefly, zoomed into the yard, spun around and then went straight up.
Wow.
And I said, did you see that?
Okay, now let me first back you up a little bit. Did you say you were sitting in the yard contemplating your grandmother's passing?
Well, I was...
You were actually doing that at the time?
Yeah, I was thinking about, you know, the fact that we had just gone to the funeral and how important she was in my life.
All right,
and,
so it had just happened.
It had just happened, yes, yes. And, you know, there have been times when I've thought that perhaps it was my grandmother herself. Then there were other times when I thought, well, maybe this is someone coming to take her where she needs to go.
Mm-hmm.
And I never quite could figure that out. But it was a really profound experience in my life and made me really question my very medical kind of family who, you know, believed only the things that they could touch and analyze and measure.
That's a scientific kind of family.
Oh, yeah.
That's like the man I had on the air the other night. Brilliant man, one of our nation's top theoretical physicists and astronomers, but dead cold on anything after we kick the bucket.
That's right.
Dead cold.
Well, when you have an experience like that, I think, I've really enjoyed Danny and Brinkley so much, too. He's brought many a bright spot to some kind of dismal times as my mother's had Alzheimer's, and whenever I hear some of his talks, he's just a wonderful storyteller, firstly, and just, you know, brings such hope and...
He does indeed. All right, in terms of, you know, what happened to you,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to take a shot at it here loosely,
okay.
All right? Here it is. I think maybe that could have been... maybe this won't help you, but it could probably likely one of the things that you described. Either it was grandmother herself making her presence known to you, or I suppose it could have been somebody who or something that came to get her. I'd probably go for the first one. And you know, a slight caveat here. Imagine the possibility that it could have been manifested from your own id. We all have to consider those possibilities. Even my guests coming up tonight have to consider the possibility, because you see, I believe that what they're actually recording on tape is, it's for real. There's no hokey pokey here. There's no baloney. What's being recorded on tape is real. However, you have to imagine that they're going out with what in their heads? With the intent of recording the voices of the dead, right? So who is to say that their own active, alive, thinking brains do not manifest this on the tape? That has to be considered as one of the possibilities, as you may have manifested the event that you connect with your grandmother. Now, on the day that my dad died, you may recall he had cancer for some time, and on the day that he died, I got the news, you know, very in the middle of the nightish kind of news, and early the next morning, a very unusual thing happened that's never happened before nor since, and that is a small bat landed on my front porch. And this bat was a baby bat, and it just stayed there. It wasn't hurt. It didn't hit anything. It just, for whatever reason, in its little bat head, decided to land on my front porch. Right, not up, not hanging, as it could have, but down right in front of our door. This little tiny baby bat. And my wife scooped him up and took him into the shade. You know, this was a... in the desert when it was hot, and we didn't want him hot, so we took him around to our breezeway and we put him in the shade, and the little bat stayed there all day long, and when nightfall came, the little bat went away. That happened the day my dad died. So, I don't know. What do you think? Wildcard Line, you're on the air.
Yes, good evening, Art.
Good evening.
Pleasure talking with you. This is George, listening to you on WABC.
In New York. Hi, George.
Hi. I want to talk to you about EVP, but I have a quick comment on that smell of space, which I may offer some insight.
Sure.
A lot of the materials that are used by NASA are graded for their outgassing characteristics. And outgassing is a phenomena which happens on Earth, but also happens in space, resulting from the heating of materials, especially plastics.
So like maybe their own spacesuits or something?
It could be their own spacesuits subject to the solar radiation being heated up.
Could be.
And they continue to outgas when they're in that air chamber.
Although, you know, they so clearly said that they identified it as the smell of space. You know, you would think that would be the first explanation that would occur to anybody, certainly an astronaut or a cosmonaut. Right? I mean, wouldn't that occur to them? But instead, they've described it as the smell of space.
Well, maybe everything smells... I'm not sure what they were thinking. But
I mean, they're not dummies. They would think the same thing, that the ultraviolet, you know, hitting their suits or something would be causing that. But that's not what they said. They said it was the smell of space, and you'd think they'd, you know enough to know the diff.
Well, unless these were first-timers...
Well, they were trained astronauts and cosmonauts. So.
Well, they were all trained on the Earth.
Well, yeah, I'm sure some of them had been up before.
Well, I'm not sure, because there's a lot of new people up on the space station these days.
I know, but I think, like, the captain and all that has to have experience or something. What do I know?
Okay, well regarding EVP, I'd like to...
Electronic voice phenomena, yes.
EVP, I appreciate your correcting me on that. I have... Would it make sense to one who is astute in audio like you are to take the actual audio that is recognizable as ghosts trying to speak to us on the other side and to try to analyze that audio and to try to fine-tune a recording system, a microphone, and backup electronics for recording to that particular frequencies and
I don't know how they could do that more than they're doing that now, and that is to say that they always use a microphone which would capture anything actually audible, and it seems to capture that which is not audible as well, and so I don't know what frequency they'd be trying to capture. Do you?
Well, what I'm getting at is if they notice that...
I mean, listen to the voices. They're all different. You've got children on there.
Yes.
You've got old men. You've got old women. You've got middle-aged people. You seem to have all ages represented from the other side, for whatever that's worth.
This is true, but maybe if they actually took the audio and put it through, get waveform analysis out of it, understand maybe there's a characteristic to it.
Well, here's a thought toward what you've just said. Suppose you were to take, that's a pretty good idea, actually, take a waveform analysis, he was correct certainly about that, of, say, a ghost, and then do a little bit of research until you find a recording of the person's voice that matches that waveform and connect it to, the cemetery where you've done the recording. The opera house where the singer was murdered, to get a little more dramatic, or whatever other piece of drama happened at the moment that whatever it is became a ghost. And match those waveforms. Then you'd really have something, wouldn't you? Because you would have just matched the waveform of a dead person. Now, that's a pretty good idea. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hey, Art. This is Kathy.
Hello, Kathy.
I tell you what, I'm listening tonight on News Talk Radio 1240 WFOY in St. Augustine.
All right.
But when I'm at home, I listen on WSKY, The Sky, FM 97.3.
All right.
So the gentleman that you just spoke with pretty much echoed just what I was going to say about the spacesuits.
Oh.
That, you know, maybe it's just the materials of the suits, even though they're designed to withstand a lot, maybe they are succumbing in part to the effects of the vacuum of space.
Yep. As I said, I absolutely can't rule that out. However, these are astronauts and cosmonauts
who
are saying this. And they're saying it's the smell of space. And you would think the first thing they would think of is what we just talked about, I would imagine. And so instead they are describing it as the smell of space. That's what intrigued me about it.
Me too. I have another thing to mention about deja vu,
sure.
If I could mention that to you.
Sure.
I tell you what, George talks about it a lot, of course, And it's been discussed whether deja vu, when we get that feeling, that maybe we're remembering something we dreamed. And that idea has kind of been poo-pooed, but I have had experiences that lead me to think that it really is something from dreams. And if I can tell you a short story, I'd love to tell you.
Sure.
Okay. I've always had little deja vu feelings since I was a little kid. And I can remember, you know, when I first started learning subtraction, I can remember having that feeling one day, oh boy, I think I've been here before, and then remembering, oh, I dreamed this. And I had it happen as a teenager, and it became more clear, oh, this is what they mean by deja vu. And when I had my first job in a military subcontractor making wire harnesses,
yes.
I was sitting with one of the inspectors one day. We were looking at a little harness that I made. I wasn't very good at it. But the young woman and I were talking about a guy we knew there, and I'm sitting, and we're looking at the harness and talking, and I start to think, oh, I've got that feeling. Oh, I dreamed this. And just when I started thinking that, Sheila, the inspector, said, she dropped the harness, she said, I've been here before. And I knew I had dreamed it, but she just had deja vu.
So, I don't know. Gee, I don't know. Maybe you were both there before, huh?
Maybe. But I always enjoy remembering that. Anyway.
That's really interesting. And
thank
with
you.
Regard to how to subtract, you had that before you ever began to be instructed in how to subtract?
No, we had been in school. I was in the first grade, and we had been in school, and we had been doing math and stuff, but we hadn't done the subtracting yet, and it was difficult for me. And when we started doing that, I tell you what, it just occurred to me, oh, I dreamed about this difficult thing.
That's very interesting. I thank you so much.
Okay, thank you, Art.
Right, take care. There's a lot of things about school that seem like deja vu. School was very interesting from that point of view, wasn't it? Remember that? Remember school? A lot of moments, particularly when you're young. If there is anything to the concept that we have been here before and we reincarnate, our souls come back, and we reincarnate into a body and don't have conscious memories of what we have done before, then it could either be that or perhaps, as she has suggested intriguingly, a dream. The deja vu is simply produced not by another life, but by a dream, which would register ching-ching in the subconscious. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art.
Hello.
On the topic of the Al-Qaeda prisoners.
Ah, yes.
Anybody who would criticize how they're being treated is flat-out ignorant. If they knew how prisoners are tortured and beaten around the world, they would be happy.
And particularly Americans.
Yeah, I mean, just all over. Countries, Malaysia, I mean, people are just, they're just torn apart in jails. And if they knew that, they would be happy that these Al-Qaeda people are being treated the way that they are.
Yeah, frankly, I thought it was sort of an advertisement for humane treatment myself.
Well, when they consider, but
that's why get embarrassed about this? It was, to me, it was like, here's people that, you know, were part of a group that just killed thousands of Americans and were at war with them, and yet we're bringing them back. To me, and if not in relative comfort, you know, like you point out, they weren't being tortured or tossed out. That's what went through my mind, you know, out the door.
Yeah, Americans are so pampered. They have this expectation, but they have no concept of what goes on around the world. Now, here in California, you're probably aware that some judges are beginning to reconsider the three strikes law, because they say, well, prisoners, they're going to jail because they stole golf clubs for long terms. Well, look, why don't you consider the rap sheet that got them there? The rap sheet is 10 pages long, and there's 1,000 victims behind all these crimes that they did. But they don't ever mention that in the news reports. They just say, oh, this poor individual is going to jail because he stole some golf clubs. You got to think about the big picture.
There is a bigger picture, another side to at least consider on the three strikes thing. Basically, the idea of three strikes was to put away the dangerous, repetitive, real bad guys, right?
Right.
So let's say you get somebody who gets busted for, I don't know, one big thing, and then one little thing, and then one more little thing, relatively, I don't know, shoplifting or something, right? and then they're going to prison for life. Well, they're taking up that prison cell that could be used for murder. And do you know that murderers, I believe, get out of jail on average? These are people convicted of murder, sir. On average, they're out of jail in 7.5 years.
That's true.
So it's like everything else. You got to kind of weigh it a little bit. I mean, yeah, we got somebody who screwed up 3 times, including 2 rather minor things, in jail for life. And we don't have room to put this murderer in, keep him there for more than 7.5 years. That kind of sucks.
Yeah, but we could do what they do in Arizona, where they bivouac them in these army camps.
Well,
you're
really
that, right?
But sure I did, but that's not for hardcore people. You know, that's that bivouac thing, that's for short-time county or state kind of offenders-level people who didn't do murders and rapes and all that sort of thing.
But if you're running
out of room... The security would be too loose.
If you're running out of room, it's a good way to start. I mean, because you have to protect society if you're going to let people off, even though they're habitual criminals because they did something minor. They're just going to victimize another person. How many stories do we have to hear that somebody got out of jail and killed somebody else when they should have been in there?
Well, the one most likely to do that, sir, would be a murderer. Listen, I gotta go. We're at the top of the hour. I appreciate the call. Believe me, I appreciate the call. Here are the girls one more time. I love this record. And they do kind of sound like an early ABBA. I mean, listen to that. Listen to that harmony.
Kingdom of Nye, from west of the Rockies at 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 1-800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach Art at 1-775-727-1222. And the wildcard line is open at 1-775-727-1295. To reach Art on the toll-free international line, call your AT&T operator and have them dial 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell from the Kingdom of Nye.
You might want to be warned. What you're about to hear is indeed frightening. It really is frightening. I mean, if you're cruising along at 60 or 70 miles an hour on a highway in a big 18-wheeler, this is where you might want to think about turning on the CB. Trust me. Brendan Cook and Barbara Macbeth are both members of the Ghost Investigators Society, GIS. The GIS is a non-profit organization, they don't take money, dedicated to the investigation of ghosts. Not only do they conduct investigations, but also instruct, assist, and educate anybody who believes that they may be experiencing ghostly phenomenon, or those who are just simply curious. In an effort to educate the public about ghosts, the GIS hopes the EVPs, or electronic voice phenomena, that you're going to hear tonight presented will help demonstrate that the consciousness does survive after the body dies, and these voices may help to give a different perspective about life, death, and ghosts. Coming up next. Well, for Brendan Cook and Barbara Macbeth, welcome back to the program, you two.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
You didn't hear the show in the first hour, did you? And I had a couple of comments about you all, and we talked about it a little bit.
No, unfortunately, we didn't.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's life. I'm going to tell you a little bit of what was said, and before we get into these, and I know we've got quite a scary lineup tonight, but my wife, Ramona, doesn't listen to this show when you all are on. She'll listen to a little bit of it, but it creeps her out. And not much creeps her out, believe me, but it creeps her out so badly. She is of the view that listening to this and listening to these voices, ostensibly probably the voices of the dead, opens doors for you as you listen that you might not be able to close, opens doors that might create an experience, that might create an atmosphere that will cause an experience to occur to you. That's what she thinks. What do you think?
Well, I have heard that discussing it, even the subject matter,
yes,
can,
yes,
open a door or something for something.
There you are. And so what do we do on these shows? We not only discuss it, but we demonstrate voices coming from the other side, or there is one other possibility. And that was suggested, too, in the first hour. And you know what that is?
What?
That these voices, I mean, everybody, I think, pretty much agrees. You know, everybody's looked at you, too, and how you do it, and no, we don't think there's any fraud involved in this. What we're hearing is real. I've come to that conclusion personally. It's real.
Mm-hmm.
So then you've got to just start asking, okay, so it's real, so what are the possibilities? One of the possibilities has to be that it's coming from the two of you, or in the case of more of you, five of you, what is it, five in the GIS now?
Yes,
five. That when you consider the fact that you all are going to graveyards and prisons and, oh, I've still got that cool story here about the Wyoming spirited prisons, documenting the fact that you went up to the Rawlings, Wyoming prison.
Yes, we did.
Yeah, I've got that whole story here. What was that, Associated Press or what?
Actually, it was Denver Post, and it did go over
Denver
the,
Post. All right,
the Associated Press. And
yeah,
actually,
a
I
long
think
story, actually.
Three or four of the voices from tonight's show are from the Rawlings Penitentiary.
From that penitentiary, yeah. Here you are, packing up your tape recorders, getting your microphones ready, getting these blank tapes that are brand new and unwrapping the plastic and putting them in so that you're sure you're not getting anything from anywhere else. I mean, it's all quite reasonable to me and to the audience. But how do we know these voices are not coming from the id? How do we know these voices are not coming from people who want to hear them so badly that with their conscious living brains, they're not projecting these voices?
Well, really what you're talking about is a subjective voice, something that we want to hear so bad that we're gonna hear it.
That you literally manifest it, because this is not
ourselves.
Just something we're hearing. By God, it really is on these tapes, as they're about to hear from themselves. It's really there. So the only thing could be that you're manifesting it yourself.
Well, the thing is, that would be a really great argument, aside from the fact that we receive contemporary information at times.
And information that we don't even know.
That you yourselves aren't aware of?
Yeah.
Exactly.
All right. Somebody else called in the first hour with a pretty interesting idea. A lot of times, most times, you're going to specific locations, right? You're going to prisons. You're going to graveyards where there's some chance that the ghost or the entity that we're hearing on tape could be identified, right?
Yeah, well, any place that has reported haunting activity is where we're going.
Precisely. But a lot of times, the identity of the entity is known. In other words, somebody committed suicide, and they know who that was. Or some child died in some tragic way, and they know who that was, that spirit who's doing the haunting. Sometimes that's true, right?
Sometimes that is.
Well, if
or
you were
the idea there, the possibility that it's that person.
Exactly. So you're capturing a voice on tape, for God's sakes. You could do a waveform on that. You could look at a waveform. The human voice has very distinct characteristics, right?
Right.
And then you could go back and find a recording of the person whose spirit is doing the haunting, and you could compare the waveforms.
Well, that's a very good idea to do if we could find a recorded voice of the person suspected haunting.
You've had a few of those.
Yes, we have.
It seems to me. And then if you really wanted to go into the investigation mode, you'd go back and find a recording of that person when they were alive and compare waveforms, and if you got a match, you'd have a pretty strong argument.
Yes, we would.
Oh, definitely.
Right?
The only problem, a lot of the places that we go, and I'm not saying all, but a lot of the places that we go are very old historic buildings, and some of the people that are supposedly haunting these buildings died 100 years ago.
When you could not have obtained a recording.
Exactly.
Sure.
And that's actually, I mean, that's quite a lot of the cases that we go on are very old hauntings.
Now, that in itself is a kind of interesting thing, isn't it? Very old hauntings. Why wouldn't you be more likely to hear from the recently departed than the dearly departed? You know, those gone for quite a while.
Yeah, I mean, it's all just theory. I mean, to try and figure out how this stuff happens.
Maybe the new ones are all in processing, you know?
Well, and that could be true.
Filling out paperwork.
I think that it's a very difficult process, whatever the process is, to be able to imprint that voice onto a tape or digital recorder. Any other recording device.
Oh, yes. For those who didn't hear the last show, that's the newest innovation, folks, that the GIS have undertaken. Previously, all of it was analog. They took out tapes and tape recorders, and they just recently began taking digital recorders out, and they didn't think it would work, did you?
No, we were very skeptical about it.
Surprise, surprise. Not only did it work, but the improved audio could not be better. I mean, it just is everything you would hope for in a digital machine showing up just like it did on tape.
It really is. In fact, it's prompted us to go out and get two more digital recorders now.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Really?
So we're using about five microcassette tape recorders plus
three
digital plus a real-time recorder that has
wow.
been modified and made for us.
Now, isn't that... Well, all right, then, fine. Let's get into it. We've got quite a program to do tonight. We were going to do it Halloween, but my back was kicking up. No, it wasn't either. It was the audio that stopped working.
Down.
Yeah, all the lines were cutting. Oh, God. So, anyway, here we are, finally, and I've looked forward to this. So tonight, away we go. Let's do number one.
This first voice was recorded by GIS member Jenny. We had gone to a cemetery that has had a lot of ghost activity reported from employees and people that have families and loved ones buried there. And we had been walking around, and no one was talking when this voice was recorded. Jenny hadn't asked anything or hadn't asked for anybody to respond to her. But this voice comes in and it says Alma Berg here. It's like someone is identifying herself.
Uh-huh. Here we go. Okay, that's pretty weird. All right, Alma Berg here. Alma, A-L-M-A, Alma Berg here. Just like somebody calling attention to the fact that I see you walking around out there in the cemetery. Alma Berg here. Here I am in the same damn cemetery. Here we go again. Wait a minute. Hold on. Here we go. Great. Just great. Alma Berg here. Now, you're in a cemetery. So how could you not, once you've come back, and those were the days when you would come back and review, I guess you still do when you get home.
Yes.
And you get the name Alma Berg, you've got to go back to the cemetery and start looking at the tombstones, right?
Yes.
Did you?
Yes, we have. It's a very large cemetery, and Jenny's not really sure exactly where she was when she recorded this voice.
Did you find any Alma Bergs inscribed on tombstones?
Many Almas, but we have found Bergs, but we haven't found an Alma Berg.
That's interesting. That's very interesting. Okay, all right. The second one.
All right. This one, it was recorded in a train station, a very old Union Pacific train station, and it's now a train museum.
Uh-huh.
And on this clip, Barbara recorded this, and you're going to hear the night security guard or maintenance worker say, "I know it was a kid because I hear the kid," and he's speaking in a very strong Spanish accent. And right after that, you hear a child say, "Come to Papa."
Now, the person, let's go over this again. The person saying, "I know it was a kid because I hear the kid." Who is that?
This is the night maintenance worker there.
Okay, so he was there and alive, right?
Yes, he was there.
And then
we're actually speaking with him.
However, the second voice we hear, "Come to Papa,"
is a child's voice, and it sounds absolutely nothing like this man that's speaking right before him.
Here we go.
I know it's a kid because I hear the kid. You know?
The child's voice, God. The children, they really get me. Let's listen one more time. That child's voice is very distinct.
I know that kid because I hear the kid. You know?
There's no way anybody in that room said anything that could have remotely been that, right?
No, not at all.
You didn't have any children in there at all?
No, this was probably about 12:30 at night after the museum had closed, and he's had a lot of activity experiences in this building. Him and other workers that work in this building.
And that's actually what he's referencing to in that clip when he says, "I know it was a kid because I hear the kid."
Yeah.
He's heard children in there when the place has been locked up and closed.
Another concerning thing is, if you're getting mainly voices that have been dead for a very long time, that means that one's period of time in the ghost world is not short by our measured standards anyway at all, but very, very long by our measured standards.
I really, I don't believe they have a concept of time. I think that's a completely human characteristic. That's something that we add to our lives. And once somebody passes on, that does not affect them anymore.
Well, doesn't having a consciousness of some sort mandate the ability to discern the passing moments?
Well, yes, but if consciousness lasts forever, then this is just a blink in this life.
That's something that we have absolutely no concept of right now.
I can't imagine 100 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, any form of what we call consciousness, that's self-awareness.
That's right.
If that is really continued on the other side, then you would notice the passing minutes and days and weeks and months and years. It seems to me.
I think the concept of time is completely different when you don't have a physical body.
I mean, there's no aging.
No aging. But there may be a notice of age, of time passage. That's what I'm getting at. It seems so torturous. All right, number three.
This is in the same Union Pacific Railroad Museum, and we've done many investigations in this location, and we were up on the second floor, which is along, they've made it into an art gallery, and we were standing there, and the pipes started rattling. We could audibly hear these pipes rattling. We've been there many times. We've never heard the pipes do this before or since. And I recorded this voice before the pipe started. You'll hear this voice say, make the pipes do it now, and then the pipes will start banging.
Here we go. You know, I don't know why you didn't just play the first part all three times with the actual banging. That's a freaky part to me. I guarantee you, if those pipes started banging like that and I was there, I'd be running. I'd be taking off a million miles an hour. That's a sign of, I don't know what that's a sign of, but it's not good.
I think it's simply just to get your attention. I mean, anything they can do to affect your physical world, I mean, I think that's really what they want to do, is get your attention.
Has doing the work that you two have done negated your fear of death?
Well, I think it's important.
Are you afraid of death?
No.
No, all right.
I think it's important how our mental state is.
I understand, but a lot of times you have no control over that. Brendan, are you afraid of death?
No, I'm not.
No.
I mean,
After all this. No. All right, hold on, you two. We'll be right back.
Kingdom of Nye, from west of the Rockies, dial 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 1-800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach Art at 1-775-727-1222 or use the wildcard line at 1-775-727-1295. To reach Art on the toll-free international line, call your AT&T operator and have them dial 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell on the Premier Radio Networks.
Well, what you're listening to is voices from the dead, voices from the other side. Seems like that's the only thing it can be, particularly with the contemporary nature of some of the remarks, with knowledge that neither of these two would have. You wouldn't think it would be manifestations from the id from these two members of the GIS. but really voices from the other side. That's something to think about. Back into the night, more ways than one. My guests are the GIS folks, Barbara Macbeth, Brennan Cook. Barbara, first billing for a change. All right, you two, back you are. And, you know, people are saying, is this a repeat or what? No, this is kind of like a show of the best of. And depending on which shows you caught, some of these you may have heard before or not, probably in a lot of cases not. And I'm sure there's a few new things thrown in here as well. So it's a combination of some of the freakiest that we wanted to do for Halloween and are doing here a week delayed. Number four, where was number four done?
All right. Well, this one was another cemetery.
I don't like number four.
Well, we know you love it, so that's why we put that one on there for you.
It's a love-hate kind of thing. When I say I don't like number four, it scares the hell out of me. And some of the others here scare the hell out of me. That's what I mean by I don't like it. So like it, yeah, it's scary, but it's really scary, so I don't know how much I like it.
Well, in this clip, you're going to hear GIS member Roger say, "It's just a great picture I'll have to show you guys." And right after he says that, you hear what sounds like an older lady say, "I'm completely dead."
Yeah.
And it's almost like a self-realization. Like us being there, she just realized, oh, I'm dead.
All the way. There's no halfway point here. I'm really completely dead. Here we go.
It's just a great picture I'll have to show you guys. I'm completely dead.
That's what's being said there. Does that sound like an old woman's voice? Listen again.
It's just great to show you guys. I'm completely dead.
You could hear in the repeats that you did for us that you ran the gain up a little bit.
Yes.
So that we were able to hear that voice a little more clearly. You could actually hear the boost in the gain, but that's all. Otherwise, the audio was exactly the same.
Yes, directly off the audio tape.
Huh. I'm completely dead. And so from that, you what? You think that people don't know they're dead when they, sometimes maybe, when it comes out of the blue, and you know, frequently somebody comforting somebody else will say he never knew what hit him, you know?
Well, I think definitely in some cases that's...
In other words, he really never knew what hit him.
Well, definitely, you know, if somebody's expecting to die and they're suffering from a long illness, I mean...
That's one thing.
Yeah, they've prepared themselves for that. If somebody gets hit by, you know, a Mack truck...
Or you have an embolism and...
Yeah, exactly. I mean...
Then you don't even know.
Yourself.
I wonder, where do you think you first wake up?
Yeah.
Well, maybe that's a poor choice of words. Where do you think your consciousness first becomes aware of a new location? How about that?
I don't know. I mean, that's all theory. I do believe that some people do not realize that they're dead.
Maybe the next EVP answers the question.
Yes, that this one is kind of different. We were at an old military fort in one of the buildings that used to be one of the bunkers, and they've turned this building into a museum. And we were there with a local Channel 13 Fox channel, doing a Halloween special one morning. We got there at about 5 in the morning.
Ah, so not only that, but then that means you had additional guardians who were probably looking real hard at you guys.
Since
they're TV people with cameras and stuff, and they're probably looking real hard at you guys trying to figure out if there's some ruse going on or
I'm
something,
sure.
Right?
Well, and the thing is, we invite that. I mean, we have nothing
obviously
at all to hide.
Yeah.
I mean, we want to show people that this is a legitimate...
So this was actually recorded while you were with this news team?
Yes, it was.
Okay.
And this was recorded by GIS member Barry. And we had been investigating this building in the dark, and someone had just turned on the lights when he recorded this voice. It sounds like a young child. There was no children there in the building. And it says it's dark in here.
Here we go. There's no mistaking that. There's no two ways about that. That is not even close to or could guess to be an adult voice. That is a child.
Yes.
You can tell the way he pronounces his words.
I would say, in fact, that sounds like a child of about 5 or 6 years old, 7 maybe, 8.
Mm-hmm.
And that actually almost seems common with a lot of the children's voices that we do get, very young children around that age.
Listen again, folks. There's no mistaking the timbre of that voice. There's no mistaking it. That's a child.
Yes. And the interesting thing is I had picked up a woman's voice in that building at the same time, and Barry recorded this child's voice, and I had called the curator of this museum and told him that we had recorded a woman's voice and the child's voice there. And he says, well, that's really interesting, because he says, I just barely found out that there were women and children on the base, on the fort when it was first built back in the 1800s.
Right.
They were kept down in the basement for their protection. The women were referred to as laundresses. Some of them were wives of the soldiers that were stationed there.
Laundresses.
And so there were women and children in that building back in the 1800s.
Yeah. Yeah, but then what that says about death, all those things it says about death that are so indigestible. Number six.
All right.
I don't think I've heard number six.
Well, this one, it was recorded inside of a mausoleum by GIS member Roger. And previous to this voice being recorded, Roger had said, our lights won't hurt you. And he's referring to the infrared lights, just in case they can see him and they're scared by the lights and the flashes that are going off.
Huh.
And you won't hear him say that, but you will hear the voice say, our death gate.
Our death gate?
Yeah.
Our death gate.
Yep.
Oh, my God. I hadn't heard that before. That is almost like Hollywood dramatic ghost stuff there, folks.
Actually, it really is.
I mean, come on. That's the whisper from the other. Our death gate. I mean, that's drama big time. Didn't it hit you that way?
Well, the echoey, I mean, it's kind of echoey in that building. This mausoleum is very echoey because of all the marble and...
Even that given, it's obviously some kind of forced whisper.
Right.
Listen. Death Gate. You know, a lot of people think that the pyramids in Egypt, specifically the largest of the pyramids, was exactly that, a death gate. Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
No, huh? Well, it's true. That's what the Egyptians thought, that the pyramid was a virtual machine that, in effect, would launch the king's spirit or soul on its journey to the stars, very specific stars, by the way. But that's what the Egyptians thought, that in essence it was a death gate. All right, number seven.
This one was recorded by Jenny. And you'll hear her telling a person that was with us, her voice is on the tape. You'll hear her say, this is where, over here, where Roger got grabbed.
Uh-huh.
And it sounds like a young girl that responds, and she says, help me find my dad.
Help me find my dad. He got grabbed? What do you mean?
We were walking in the cemetery at a previous night, and He felt like someone had grabbed his arm. He described it. He said it felt like long, bony fingers that had grabbed his arm. And he was expecting to see a hand, and there was nothing on him.
Long, bony fingers. Now, how is it that your members can go through an experience like that, having long, bony fingers grab their arm and still be a member of your group?
Well, that's really, I mean, to be honest, that's what we're trying to experience. I mean, things like that.
You prepare yourself to experience anything.
You really want the physical to occur?
If anything physical happens, that's a plus.
All right, here it is.
This is, we're over here. Okay. The Roger got grabbed. Look, Chris. Oh, yeah.
That's a child big time, and the child, that's a very young child, and the child is saying, oh, God, it's saying, help me find my dad.
And
I
need to stress, I mean, I'm sure, you know, I have before, but how the emotions in these voices are all very distinct and very different.
A man in the first show said, all the voices that seem to get through are so emotive. They're so emotive. That's the right word. I mean, they're just full of emotion. And
definitely.
They're just pouring. Emotion is just pouring out of them. And if you listen carefully to that young girl's voice, there's emotion just pouring out of it. Listen.
This is, we're over here. Okay. The Roger got grabbed. Look, Chris.
She's almost crying.
Look, Chris.
She's almost crying.
That's what it sounds like. It's very pitiful.
Yeah, pitiful. And it doesn't seem to me like, you know, on the other side, that if you're a kid, the first thing that happens to you is you get lost. You know, I mean, that sounds like a kid out in the middle of nowhere in a city somewhere grabbing a stranger,
mm-hmm.
pleading, help me find my dad. That's what that sounds like. Well, I mean, come on, folks. What does that say about the other side?
Well, I mean,
I don't think it's like how we perceive it at all.
No, apparently not. I mean, after all, most people think, the majority of people, I would think they're going to heaven or a place called heaven or, you know, a nicer to be place. That's what they always say. He's now in a nicer place, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean,
see, that doesn't sound like a nicer place.
Well, it's definitely our perception that when we die, we will go to a nicer place. We'll go to heaven.
Yeah.
Like Barbara's always said, I think if you have a lot of unresolved issues when you're alive, if you have a lot of mental issues when you're alive, you can't let go of that.
I'm not berating you in any way at all. I'm just saying, good God, some of these are, you know, I mean, you begin to consider the nature of what's on the other side, and you hear a little girl's voice pleading to find her dad. That's as bad as it gets.
Well, and the thing is, I mean, she may have died very suddenly and realized that her dad had passed on and thinking she was going to see her dad on the other side.
Well, yeah, that's in fact what we think, right? We think we're going to see our loved ones. We're going to be with our loved ones on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't sound like any guarantee to me. Oh, well. One more here before we get to the top of the hour.
All right. Well, this is where we start off the Rollins Penitentiary.
Ah, Rollins.
And this was recorded inside the death house of Rollins. Actually, it was pretty close, I believe, to the gas chamber. And it was recorded by GIS member Jenny. And another local Fox affiliate had followed us on this one and actually stayed overnight in the death house with us when this voice was recorded. And in this clip, you're going to hear a woman say, these guys are so funny, and she's referring to the local Fox affiliate that was with us, the two men that were
here. Okay. All right.
And you hear a male's voice say, I appear.
All right. Listen carefully. I appear. And this was recorded near a death house, or immediately adjacent to a death chamber, an execution chamber. I appear. I appear. I appear. That would be a pretty wild place, it seems to me, to think about going to record anything. It would be a prison, and then, of course, if that prison was one that did executions, I mean, that's really going the extra mile, the extra green mile.
The thing is, I mean, if mental anguish and mental suffering and unresolved issues is what causes someone to stay behind, what better place than a prison? I mean, to go to, especially a prison that was in operation for a long time, where people have had a chance to be institutionalized and have been incarcerated for 40 years and have literally somewhat gone insane.
Well, two things here. One, I have heard that long-term prisoners who have been, you know, in prison for life, who are suddenly or unexpectedly given an opportunity to get out, cannot handle the freedom and do not want to be out, and if necessary, will commit another crime to get back in again.
Oh, that's correct.
You know, people have been in prison 30 and 40 years, those kinds.
In fact, in this prison, there was a man who, I believe, was incarcerated for 40 years, somewhere between 30 and 40 years. And, of course, by the time his parole had come up, he was older, his family had moved away and pretty much forgotten about him. They let him out, and he went on to the front yard of the prison, ate his lunch, and walked back inside and asked to be let back in.
And did they?
Yes, they did, actually.
Huh. Have you ever been to the prison that's now inactive off the coast there in San Francisco?
Alcatraz?
Hmm.
No, we haven't.
We've done other prisons. So far, the one in Rawlins is, to me, the atmosphere and everything in that prison just takes the cake.
I
would like to go to the Alcatraz prison.
Well, that's what I was going to ask. In other words, you are here on the West Coast, right? You're up, I think, in Utah, right?
That's correct.
So it would be doable
for you. It's feasible, yes.
And it seems to me Alcatraz would be a prime opportunity because it was such a high security, totally weird place where many, many, many died. And it's so separate, it's so isolated, it's so perfect for the kind of experiment that you do.
Yes.
It really is, yes.
So somebody did call in the first hour and suggested Alcatraz, and I thought I would bring that up to you.
Yes,
why
we
not?
Would like to do Alcatraz if we ever have the opportunity to get there, and it's feasible for us to do it, and we can get permission to do it.
I think probably you can do all of the above. What you'll get, that's another question. Hold on, we're at the top of the hour. We've got Barbara and Brendan. They're GIS members, 2 of 5, who go to cemeteries, prisons. We're in a prison right now. And they record the voices of the dead. From the high desert, I'm Art Bell.
Lose their lives.
in the Kingdom of Nye from west of the Rockies at 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 1-800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach Art at 1-775-727-1222. And the wildcard line is open at 1-775-727-1295. To reach Art on the toll-free international line, call your AT&T operator and have them dial 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell from the Kingdom of Nye.
That's certainly true about war, isn't it? You'd also think it'd be a fertile ground for ghosts, huh? War? Maybe we'll ask about that.
Say it,
once again from Utah, here's the GIS. Y'all are from Utah. Are you Mormons?
No.
You're not
some.
Mormons? Some?
Mm-hmm.
Some, huh? How does the Mormon religion, if you know, look at the kind of work you're doing?
As far as I know, they believe in life after death, and in fact, I've had many very active Mormons tell me about experiences that they've had.
Okay. That's interesting. Really is interesting. All right, number nine. These are kind of freaky, folks. I mean, we're in a prison here. We're in Rollins prison. This is the one I have the Denver Post story on here. Rollins, Wyoming. And how many people were there when you came through, when you went through?
We went through on, I think, four series of investigations, three or four series of investigations.
Right.
And the majority of the time it was just the five of us and the director of the prison itself. Mm-hmm. The very last time that we went, which was September 21st of 2001, it was the five of us, the director of the prison, another female that worked at the prison, and the two Fox, the people that worked for Fox.
Fox, yeah. The people who were now in charge of the prison, were they surprised at what you got? In other words,
it was a little disturbing because the director said that she's got an agreement with the prison that she will take care of the prison. Just don't bother her, you know.
Really?
She's uncomfortable about ghost activity, but people that have worked for her have told her about experiences that they've had.
All right. Number nine, again in the prison, right?
This is in the prison. Yeah. This voice and the previous voice were recorded on three different tape machines. Barry and Jenny recorded these voices very clear. Mine was quite a distance away from them and didn't pick up as loud and clear. But they were recorded on three different tapes. This one, it tells us to get out, and then you'll hear GIS members talking, and then it tells us to get out again. It's quite loud.
Twice, huh?
Yes.
All right, let's see. Yeah, the second time louder. The second time get out louder.
Yeah, it seems much more adamant about it.
That seems like a pretty strong message to me. Get out's clear. Get out.
That was in the death house.
Yeah, that was also recorded almost, in fact, it was pretty much recorded in the same area that I appear. The previous voice was recorded in.
But if you're told to get out, I mean, there's just no way when you go back and listen to that that you can't say, damn. You know, I mean, that's a very clear instruction. It's not exactly ambiguous in any way. It's quite clear.
It was quite adamant about us getting out.
Well, and really, I mean, those are the kinds of voices that we want to record. I mean, not necessarily saying get out, but very loud, clear, strong voices like that. And that really, that get out does not surprise me that we recorded that there, because, I mean, obviously we're in a prison.
One more time.
Get out.
Now, a lot of times these EVPs come when you're not obviously expecting them, or you wouldn't be talking yourselves in the background, saying a word.
That's right. We overtalk many of them because we don't realize that we're getting a voice at that time.
That must be very frustrating for you.
Oh, it is definitely very frustrating for us.
In other words, there must be an awful lot of, come on, let's keep quiet type
yeah.
signals between all of you. You
know,
like,
try to remind each other to talk one at a time. And
because if an entity is going to offer something up in the middle of the conversation, for example, unfortunately, they're liable to do it in response to something you have said.
That's correct.
And so that's going to put it in the middle of some sort of dialogue.
And often it's interesting that they do it when we're not referring to ghosts at all. When we're just speaking amongst ourselves, they will drop in.
Okay, number 10.
All right, well, this was also recorded in the prison. It was recorded by GIS member Roger in cell block A. Now, what's interesting about this is it was recorded in an area where a man named Frank Wigfall had been thrown off the third tier. He was lynched by the other prisoners. He was a prisoner himself. What had happened is he was paroled, and he walked across the street from the prison and raped an old lady and left her for dead. She didn't die, but it turned out this lady used to bring cookies and things to the prisoners at the prison, and she was very well loved by the prisoners.
Uh-huh.
So when this happened, there was a lynch mob that was formed. They found him, they rearrested him, brought him back to Rollins Prison, and the prisoners got wind of what he had done to this lady that they loved, and one night they threw him over the third tier and hung him.
They dragged him back up and threw him off again.
Yeah.
Okay, how do you connect that occurrence to what we're about to hear?
Well, what you're going to hear right here is just screaming, and it was recorded in the exact area where he was thrown over the third tier.
Oh. All right, here it is. Oh, my. You know, that sounds like a very, very fast scream, like something very extremely current is happening to you, like you're falling off something, or it does sound like that, or you're being hung. Listen again.
Oh,
wait a minute, that's not it. Get on the right one, Arthur. Here we go. Very fast. That sounds like just what I said it was. Sounds like somebody took a very fast fall, like somebody perhaps took a very fast fall and their neck was wrung. I don't know, but that's what it sounds like, doesn't it?
Yes,
it really
does. You know, I know when there's activity that takes place with people, it's very frightening to them. It's not something that they're looking for, but you really have to have, I mean, I do. I feel a lot of compassion for these spirits. Because it must really be a hell for them.
It really must be a hell. And, you know, that would indicate that either it's an echo of time, it's an echo of what occurred, or it's that spirit living it again and again
and again.
And again. That would be a hell, all right, wouldn't it?
Yes.
All right. Number 11. I'm happy to proceed to number 11.
This one was recorded in a private residence. A woman had called us there that had a lot of activity, and you'll hear her say, "This room is always cold,
And she goes on and says, I mean, you just walk in here and it's cold. I don't like this room. Every time I've slept in here, I've had nightmares. And as soon as she gets done saying that, it sounds like a child that tells her to go to bed.
A child again. Sounds like a child tells her to go to bed. Okay, here we go.
This room is always cold. And it's, I mean, just walk in here, it is cold. Mm-hmm. I don't like this room. Every time I've slept in here, I've had nightmares.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God, that's clear. That's so clear. That's clearly a child saying, go to bed.
This room is always cold. And it's, I mean, just walk in here, it is cold. Mm-hmm. I don't like this room. Every time I've slept in here, I've had nightmares.
That's interesting. I really hear something else with that in two different places. In the middle of what she was saying, I really thought I could hear the same child's voice start to say something.
Yes.
You also heard that?
Yes.
And then while the child was saying, go to bed, and it was very clear, the go to bed part was very clear, in the middle of that, I heard something else.
Really?
Yeah. In the middle of the go to bed, there was a sound with it. Didn't you hear that?
No, actually, the only thing I hear with that, aside from the child's voice, is the sound of a camera winding.
Is that what it is?
Yes.
The sound of a camera. All right, I've got to listen again.
This room is always cold, and it's, I mean, just walk in here, it is cold. Mm-hmm. I don't like this room. Every time I've slept in here, I've had nightmares.
Huh, that's what that was?
Yes.
Oh, it's that disposable camera.
Yeah, it's camera a disposable that's being wound. Camera.
Okay. Oh,
yeah, but really,
wow.
But it sounds like it laughs. It's like there's a giggle in there when she's talking.
Yeah. Yeah, or something. Anyway, during the time she's talking, the child did utter something. But I don't know what.
Yeah. I agree.
Huh. Obviously, again, no child present. Any indication of who the child might have been?
No, we didn't. However, this lady, we recorded this child's voice a couple of times in this house on that night. And she had said that she was bothered by children that would wake her up in the middle of the night. And really, what I find most interesting about that voice is simply the context of how it comes in. I mean, she's talking about how she doesn't like this room and she doesn't like to sleep there. And then this child says, go to bed.
Huh. How often do you take visitors with you? I've got people asking about that. When you go on these, do you ever take, other than the press, you know, like Fox or whatever, do you ever take observers, people who have contacted you along?
Every once in a while we will do an open investigation. Obviously, it has to be a place that's quite large, and with any number of people being with us, it would be extremely hard to do a serious investigation. We would do it more for the fact of showing people what to do.
Yeah, but when you're out really hunting for the voices, you wouldn't want an extra person there who's bound to be asking questions.
No.
And yeah, I've got it. Number 12.
All right, and this voice... it's kind of funny in the way that it sounds like an old B-horror movie. It's just simply a groaning. It's just a groaning sound.
Where did you get it?
It was an abandoned movie theater that, well, by the time we got there, it had been abandoned for probably about a year, and it's since been torn down. And the atmosphere in this place was just almost disturbing. I mean, the smell of stale popcorn, and it was really kind of a disturbing place. But you hear this groaning, and GIS member Jenny recorded this. And if you listen extremely closely right after the groaning, you hear her say, did you hear that?
Yeah, you hear who say?
Jenny.
Jenny say, did you? Oh, really? Okay, yeah, interesting. Here we go.
Thank you.
that's horrible. That's horrible.
Well, I mean, it really sounds like an old B horror movie.
It sounds exactly like an old B horror movie, and it sounds like something almost like a reduced tape speed. It sounds, if it's human, then it's a reduced tape speed, or it's some kind of creature, or God, I don't know what that would be, but it's awful, whatever it is, absolutely awful. And you're certain that this was recorded at the proper speed.
Yes. Yes, definitely.
There's no question about that.
No question.
Was there anything to provoke this?
No.
No, there was just four of us in that building the night that this was recorded. Everything was stripped out of this building. The seats were gone.
In fact, Barbara had a bolt thrown at her.
A bolt?
Yeah, that had been used to bolt the seats into the floor.
I didn't know what it was at the time.
What do you mean thrown at you?
Well, it hit me on my side. It didn't hit hard. I felt it. At first I thought it was my external mic that had dropped down.
Uh-huh.
And it landed on my foot and then rolled onto the floor. It was dark in there, so I couldn't see what it was.
Before or immediately after or during this thing, do you think?
No, it was at a different time. We went back there many times.
I see. When you get something like this, I can see why you would. That is so not good. Not good. That sound is not right.
I had interviewed a woman that used to work there when it was a working theater. When she was in high school, she worked there, and that was one reason why we went there. She talked about activity that took place in that building
right.
when it was a theater.
I don't know how you two keep as upbeat an attitude about what you do with what you, based on what you get.
Well, I think it's wonderful. Anytime we get anything, I think it's always a disappointment to come home and go over tapes and
not get anything
video and not have anything.
I suppose.
Spend hours looking for it.
I mean, but how many times is this sobering to you? I mean, when you bring back that groaning and you sit down around the table and you listen to that, it's got to be, how can it not be disconcerting for you is what I'm trying to ask, I guess.
Really, I mean, if nothing else, it shows us that something survives after we die. Well, I mean, whether it's good or bad, I mean, it still answers that question in our minds.
There's something
survives. I mean, and definitely I think it's our consciousness that survives.
Hey, maybe these are people who only, you know, at worst stole candy in a store when they were a kid.
Well, yeah, it's possible.
I'm being cute, I suppose. But I mean, in other words, how do we know that these people who are in obvious agony, as in being hung, or hanged, I guess, right? Or that horrible groan, or whatever it is. All of these things are obviously not having a good time.
Well, I think like this one, it does sound like that, like the speed is just...
It does.
Like a 33, you know, when it should be on 78.
Either that, or it's something speed. You absolutely don't want to meet in a dark alley somewhere at all.
I think that they have a very difficult time sometimes in trying to communicate.
I got the message on that one. Trust me, I got the message. We're going to break here at the bottom of the hour, and we'll be right back. From the high desert, I'm Art Bell. GIS is with us tonight, and we're listening to voices from the other side, or whatever you believe.
West of the Rockies, dial 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 1-800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach Art at 1-775-727-1222 or use the wildcard line at 1-775-727-1295. To reach Art on the toll-free international line, call your AT&T operator and have them dial 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell on the Premier Radio Network.
And it's funny, and the song kind of works in a funny, strange sort of way. Footsteps. This is Coast to Coast AM. We're interviewing the GIS about what they do, and that's recording voices from the other side. More in a moment. All right, you two, welcome back. We're doing sort of a best of show. This would be, I don't know, the best, the scariest, the clearest recordings that the GIS has done in the years that they've been doing this, which is how long now, by the way?
No, it's probably about five years.
Yeah. 5 years.
We've been together.
You stayed dedicated to this project for 5 long years, huh?
We were doing this before, but not together.
when
we hooked up.
Yeah, I was about to ask, how? I mean, how'd you hook up?
It was just really all a common interest.
You just bump into somebody every day. Say, I record the voices of the dead. Oh, well, me too. We should get together. That's not how
well,
it happens.
I talk about it a lot. I mean, I'll talk about this with anybody that'll sit there and listen.
I see. So you really did eventually bump into somebody else who did it or wanted to do it or what?
Yes.
That was really how it happened, actually.
All right. Here comes number 13.
This one, I believe we played these on your last show. We were at the funeral director's home that had all of a sudden acquired some activity. He had lived in this house for about 7 years, and we believe that something followed him home.
Oh, yeah.
And he had visually seen a small child that was not his own in his house. And we had told him to, while we were there, to talk with it and see if we could get anything. And he had one of his own child's toys, and he, in this clip, you're going to hear him say, "Here, buddy," and he set the toy down. And there's a little child's voice that says, "I see," and then it says, "Good."
Oh, God, good. I remember this one.
And
this
it's
one...
actually, it's really important to note here that his child was not home at the time this was recorded.
There was no child there,
no,
right?
No, there wasn't.
But this was his child's toy.
Yes.
And it was sort of an offering, I guess, like an offering to this spirit?
Yes. He had seen this little ghost child in his son's room on previous occasions.
Okay. Listen, everybody, to this one. This is really trippy. This one really is trippy. When the child stops, considers, and says, "Good." That's what I remember about it. Listen very carefully.
"Hey, buddy.
I see. Okay.
Huh.
Okay. I see. Okay. Okay. I see. Okay. Okay.
Oh, my God. The, You know, the earlier caller said it so emotive. Oh, my God. This child, obviously, in between the two goods, I didn't have the second one written here, in between the two goods, obviously, is kind of considering the way a child does, you know, in that moment of a child when the child thinks about something and then repeats it. Good. Good. Like that. It's so clear.
Hey, buddy.
Okay.
It's incredible.
Okay.
That one's a grabber. And the reason that one's such a grabber is because it's so consciously produced. So
yes.
There's so much consciousness involved in what we just heard. You know, the child sees a toy and says, I see. Good. Good. I can't even properly myself.
Can't even imitate that.
No, I can't. I can't. You know, I don't know what to say to that one. I see why these shows cause people, you know, quite a bit of problem, frankly, listening to them. And I see why it's possibly a little worrisome to listen to this myself. I feel it, too. All right. Number 14.
All right. Well, this one was recorded in the same house. And it's the same little boy, again. And I record this with the digital recorder, same as the previous voice.
Right.
And in this clip, I was walking into the kitchen area, which is actually, the kitchen is adjacent to the living room area. And I kind of walked into the living room a little bit, and there's a big mirror on the wall. And I looked at it, and kind of looked down, and then in this clip you hear me say, is anybody here?
Right.
And I look out, there's quite a pause after that. I look up into the mirror, and directly behind me I can see the kitchen. But I see a boy run behind me. And this boy, the thing that struck me about him is not so much just seeing a boy run behind me, but the way the boy looked. And really the only way I can describe it is his neck was broke. It was turned literally all the way to one side. I mean, to the point that no normal person could do that. I mean, his chin was almost on the other side of his left shoulder.
The neck was also facing.
Yes. And so as he was running straight forward, he was looking right at me.
Ay, ay, ay.
And anyway, right when I see that, he actually comes in on the tape and says, either I'm a good boy, or what we now believe him to say is, I'm Gabe. And then I say, no way, responding to what I've just seen in the mirror, and then you hear him laugh.
Really? Well, here we go.
Is anyone here? No way.
Wow.
No way. No way.
Wow. There's no question about it. I'm a good boy. I hear you say no way. You're responding to what you just saw.
Yeah, I mean, because I was
which
honestly,
is this child with a... How old would you say the child was? Could you tell?
You know, really, I would have to guess maybe seven.
Seven.
Because I really only saw him from the shoulder up.
And this child had a broken neck.
That's really the only way I can describe it, is that he had a broken neck. Because that's what struck me about it, was his neck did not look right.
Yeah, I think we all know, you know, we've seen it, like on NFL, you watch NFL, and occasionally they have these horrible scenes where somebody really is horrendously hurt. I mean, a leg is turned around the wrong way. something is obviously bent and isn't going to be right, you know, for maybe forever. And you see these horrible injuries that occur on the field. And so that's what he's talking about. He said, this boy looked like that, apparently, the way he died. And again, there's a pretty long pause in the beginning. He says, is anyone there? Then you've got to remember, when he says no way, when Brendan says no way, that's when he actually saw this boy with a broken neck. But before that, he actually says, the spirit says, I'm a good boy. You hear Brendan say, no way. Then you hear the boy laugh. Ha ha ha. You hear the boy laugh at the end. Listen again carefully.
Is anyone here? No way. No way. No way.
That laugh, you know, that laugh, there's no way in 5 million years that laugh could be faked by an adult. There's no way.
It's definitely different. And I think out of all the things we've experienced, at least for me personally, this is one of the things that's bothered me the most. I have tried so hard to rationalize it at the time it happened and up until now, and there's just no way I can rationalize it. In fact, when it happened, I didn't even mention it to anybody in the group until after we left and came home.
I mean, this is like I See Dead People.
In a way.
It's really like that movie. By the way, how did you two react to that movie?
Oh, I thought it was a wonderful movie.
Did you?
Yes, I thought it portrayed...
reality?
I thought it portrayed it very well.
And really, you know, another really good movie that kind of gives you an idea of the mentality of a ghost is The Others, especially The End. I mean, it really kind of gives you an idea of what
from
a ghost would go through. Yes.
Yeah. Number 15.
This voice was recorded by a friend of the GIS. He had gone to originally it was a veterans hospital for World War I and World War II vets.
Right.
And we were in a building that was the psychiatric ward at one time. The place is now abandoned. And I had stepped out of the building. No one heard me tell them that I was leaving to go get some more equipment. And everyone was worried that I was in this building somewhere. And when they finally realized that I was outside after they had been looking for me, you'll hear this voice that this friend of ours recorded, and it says, you little murdering tramps. He almost sounds quite deranged.
You little murdering tramps, huh?
Mm-hmm. Huh? You little murdering tramps. You little
murdering tramps. You little murdering tramps. That's not good at all. Any idea what he was referring to?
No, I don't. I know that someone had, right before this was recorded, someone had realized I was outside, and they said that Barbara's outside, and Zane, who recorded this, says, oh, thank goodness, and right after he said that was when he recorded this voice.
That's not a happy person.
No.
No. And also, we should mention that this building was also at one point used as a veterans' mental hospital.
Oh, really?
And that may explain why the voice sounds so deranged, and maybe it describes what it's saying. I mean,
but that's to say deranged in this life, deranged in the next.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think you definitely carry your same personality from this life to the next.
That doesn't sound right, though. It just doesn't sound right. You know, it shatters so many pet theories about what people think, in this case me, because I'm responding to it, about what the other side is. I mean, somehow you don't think that you carry infirmities from here to there. particularly physical or mental infirmities, but a broken neck, a madness. These are pretty serious loads to carry on to the other side where it's supposed to be better, huh?
Yes, it is. State of mind.
Or do you think maybe it's not really the other side, but it's still part of this side? It's some horrible little, you know, I think Catholics talk about purgatory, right?
Yes.
Some in-between place? Could it be that?
I think, well, anything is possible, but the places that we go have reported haunting activity.
And that may be what this is.
Do you think there are more hauntings going on now, more than ever? Fewer hauntings? In other words, you get requests from people, right? Help
yeah.
me out. Come check this out. Do this. Do that. Do you think hauntings are increasing, that they've always been at an even pace, or what?
You know, actually, I think it's much more acceptable now to talk about it. Whereas before, you know, even 10 years ago, it wasn't. There was such a stigma about it. And especially in America, it's something that people don't want to talk about until just recently. And I think that's why it seems like there are more hauntings taking place now. Not necessarily that there are more, but people want to talk about it more.
Why do you think that might be?
You know, there's some
attitudes have changed
yeah.
so much. And I do think that they are closer to us than people realize. I think it happens more frequently than the majority of people know.
All right. Let's try and fit one in before the top of the hour. Number 16.
All right. This one was recorded in a private residence in Laramie, Wyoming. And it just simply says, "I'm on the south side." And it almost makes us wonder if there's somebody buried on the south side of the house.
Oh. Oh. Where do you recall where you were when you got this?
We were actually in the kitchen area of the home.
I had just walked in from the outside.
Any reason to believe there'd been a murder there?
The house is quite old. And the people that are living there now know that the people that had built the home, it had been in a certain family for generations, and there had been many people that had died in the family there in the home.
So they might be buried there.
Yeah,
it's very
maybe
possible.
On the south side, huh? All right, well, here you go, folks.
Sometimes it's not fire.
Oh.
Sometimes it's not fire. Sometimes it's not fire.
So that might be a body or the spirit of a body directing those who might find that body to where that body's buried.
Sometimes it's not fire. Sometimes it's not fire. Sometimes it's not fire.
Did that lead you to into any sort of investigation of the South Side, in quotes?
We didn't discover this until we got back home to Utah.
Oh, I see.
And we have yet to have a chance to go back.
And if you did?
I would tell them to start digging up the south side and make a garden, see if they can discover anything.
Make a garden?
Have a reason.
Giving them some reason to dig other than just, you know, the voice that said, "Hey, I'm here on the south side."
Exactly.
Dig up the garden over there on the south side.
Yeah.
Give them a reason for tearing out their lawn.
Well, obviously they already suspected something anyway, right?
Oh, yes.
Great. Okay. Hold tight. We'll come back and we'll complete those that we have yet to go. And we'll also take calls from all of you out there about what you've heard. Because if you don't have an opinion, based on what you've heard so far tonight and what we have yet to present, then you've just nervously been chuckling all of this away. And frankly, I understand that reaction. From the high desert, what else can it be? In the nighttime, in the dark, this is Coast to Coast AM.
doesn't have any friends, that's a really nice place to go home. Folks hoping you'd turn out cool, but they had to take you out of school. You're a little touched, you know, ain't you, baby? Lovers appear in your room each night, and they whirl you across the floor. But they always seem to fade away when your daddy taps on your door. Angie, girl, are you all right? Tell the radio tonight, all alone once more, Angie, baby. Angie, baby, you're a special lady, living in a world of make-believe.
Art Bell in the Kingdom of Nye from west of the Rockies at 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 1-800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach Art at 1-775-727-1222. And the wildcard line is open at 1-775-727-1295. To reach Art on the toll-free international line, call your AT&T operator and have them dial 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell from the Kingdom of Nye.
And the music's so loud it spins him around till his soul has lost its way. And as she turns the volume down, he's getting smaller with the sound. It seems to pull him off the ground. No more the radio he's found, never to be found.
Song, it seems to fit so well.
The headlines read that a boy disappeared and everyone thinks he died. Except a crazy girl with a secret lover who keeps her satisfied. It's so nice to be insane, no one asks you to explain. Radio by side, Angie baby.
Angie baby. We're talking about maybe a lot of Angie babies and the people on the other side, and it may be a very different world, a very unexpected world, and one you would enter in the blink of an eye, or maybe a heartbeat. So maybe that girl was like Angie baby, huh? Welcome back, you two.
Thank you.
We have a few more to get through here before we can take calls, and I do have a lot of people who want to talk to you. So let's quickly proceed to number 17.
This one was recorded by Jenny, and we were in a cemetery and had witnessed we'd visually seen a ghost light in this cemetery, which is very unusual for Utah. We don't have lit self-illuminating insects here.
Mm-hmm.
And this ghost light hung around us quite a long time.
We don't have self-illuminating insects either. I've never heard it put quite that way. Fireflies is what I always call them.
Mm-hmm.
Self-illuminating insects. I have to remember that. Sounds really good. Yeah, they're not out here, much
no.
As you might think. You have them on the East Coast all over the place, and they're very normal. I've never seen one self-illuminating insect ever out
no,
here. Not once.
Not here.
Yeah.
And it's just too dry. And this ghost light responded to us. It came to us. And we started calling it Parker because it went down into a headstone where the person's name was Parker.
Oh.
And in this one, you'll hear me say, Parker, don't leave, because it was going away from us. And this voice Jenny recorded says, I'm not far.
Here we go.
Parker, don't leave.
almost in some kind of, I can't quite discern the accent, but I'm not.
Yeah, it has an something.
Some kind of accent, right?
It almost sounds like he has a cold.
Let's see. I'm not fine. Well, maybe.
Yeah, I don't wait. I'm not far.
Well, that's fascinating. And that was as a light descended into a headstone by the name of Parker, right?
Right.
Uh-huh. You guys are nuts. You're all a bunch of Angie babies. I wouldn't go and do that. All right. All right, number 18.
All right, this one was recorded in a cemetery also.
Uh-huh.
It was recorded by Barbara, and in this clip you'll hear GIS member Roger say, "Sit and wait there." And right after he says that, a man says, "Sit and wait there," and this is the EVP. And then you hear a long exhalation that is also part of the EVP.
A breathing out?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Here we go. that is so terrible. That's the tone, isn't it?
Yes.
That's
it
not
was just
an
me and Roger there at the time too.
Yeah. one more time. You know, that has the sound of "you don't want to mess with me" to it.
We were sitting in our car.
It still has that sound to it.
Yeah,
it's
it
like,
does.
All right. All right. 19.
This one was recorded by Jenny in the same cemetery, and we had just I just purchased a infrared night scope, a Russian night scope, and Brennan was using it, and you'll hear me say, "Come and see Brennan if it makes a difference with the infrared."
Sure.
And Jenny recorded this voice responding, "A perfect circle," which the infrared, when you're looking at it, is a perfect circle.
Oh,
the camera
my,
or the scope.
Yes. It would be a perfect circle. Of course, the lens would be a perfect circle from the other side, right?
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. Here it is.
"Come and see, Brendan, if it makes a difference with the infrared."
No question about it. That voice says "a perfect circle," and that's a child's voice.
Yes, that's what it sounded like to me, or a young girl.
Yeah, maybe it sounded, I think, to me more like a child's voice.
It sounds like a child to me, too, but yeah. I've had people say that it sounds like it could be a young girl.
And I can clearly hear your voice. Come and see, Brendan, if it makes a difference with the infrared. I can clearly hear that, too, again.
"Come and see, Brendan, if it makes a difference with the infrared."
"Make a circle. Make a circle. Make a circle."
Perfect circle, indeed. So, you know, that's the kind of interactive communication.
Yes.
That really does lead one completely away. I mean, if it was you or either one of you manifesting this, you would not manifest it from that point of view because you weren't looking, obviously, at the other side of the lens. You were looking into it.
That's correct. I mean,
so you wouldn't manifest something that would be seeing something that you're not. That's incredible. All right, number 20.
All right, this one was recorded by GIS member Jenny, and it was inside of a mausoleum. And the voice just simply, it's an old woman that says "plastic eyes," or at least what sounds like an old woman. What's interesting is after this, Barbara had called the mortician at this mausoleum and asked them, you know, "Does plastic eyes have any meaning to you?" And they had said that actually it did, that they used plastic eyes to prepare the bodies.
You know, it's a funny thing. Since we did the show where you first presented this, I can't remember. I saw Law and Order or some series like that where they did a story about morticians, and one of the things was plastic eyes. And, you know, when I saw that, a chill went down my spine because I remembered this particular EVP. And
yes,
indeed,
and we didn't know about.
I had no idea. I had no idea that morticians use plastic eyes.
Yeah, neither did we. And that really is, you know, a form of contemporary information.
Maybe this is a complaint. Listen closely, folks. Maybe that's a corpse complaining about the plastic. God, that's terrible. Well, so when you learned from the mortician what plastic eyes meant, how did that hit you?
I kind of had a feeling that they did after we, you know, found out about this voice, that they must use them. I mean, it just kind of confirmed why the voice said this.
You think it was just a statement or a complaint?
I think that she wasn't happy about it.
Yeah.
I think it was a complaint.
Well, see, that makes me ask, why would she care? Because...
Maybe she wants her body being prepared.
Yeah, but all of the things, but
like.
Yes, but I know, but all of all the things that you think you would care not about once you're dead and out of your body and a spirit that can move about or maybe even not move about, but at least a spirit devoid of a physical body, you would think the last thing you'd be complaining about would be the physical body unless some way, in some horrible way, you were still attached to it.
Well, and in a way, that, I mean, that's...
Yuck.
Definitely a working theory with this.
Working theory.
Well,
yeah, all right, fine. Number 21.
This one, you will hear Jenny, she recorded this in a mausoleum, and you will hear her say, "Will you please show yourself to us? Will you make a noise?" And this voice responds and asks her, "Will you stay here?"
Will you stay here, huh? All right, here we go.
Will you please show yourself to us? Will you make a noise?
Yeah. No, not only no, but hell no. Will you stay here? And you say, that sounds like a mausoleum.
Yes, it's very echoey.
Very large, and you could hear the very large echo. That's not an electronic effect, right?
No, any mausoleum that we've gone into has it's all marble, you know.
And very high ceilings.
That's just what it sounds like—a high-ceilinged marble room.
Will you please show yourself to us? Maybe make a noise. Please show yourself.
Interesting is even the EVP echoes in there.
Yeah, will you stay here? Will you stay here? If you'd had a chance to answer that, what would you have said?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm sure you guys would have said yes.
We'll stay here as long as we can.
That's what we do.
Yeah. Why do you do it?
Simply, it's just fascinating. I mean, that's why we do this. I mean, obviously, we're not getting paid for this.
Yeah, obviously.
It's something that fascinates us, and we want to learn as much as possible about it and, you know, and hopefully teach people about it.
But as you learn more about the nature of death, don't you find it somewhat disconcerting, depressing, and otherwise not positive?
No.
Well, the ghosts are not happy people, you know. I mean, they're not happy. They're not in a happy state of mind. I think if a ghost becomes happy, they don't stay around very long.
Yeah, I have yet to hear one say, "Hand me another beer."
Yeah.
Or whatever.
That's why, you know, one of our things is educational. The purpose of our society is educational. And one thing I try to reinforce in people is whatever your garbage is in this life, try to get it cleaned up because you're sure going to carry it with you.
Yeah. Number 22 and the last one for tonight.
All right. This one was recorded by GIS member Jenny, and it was recorded in a cemetery. And it was actually recorded last winter. And Barbara and Jenny were sitting out in the cemetery in lawn chairs with a blanket over them because it was cold. And you hear Jenny ask, "Did you just pull down the blanket?" And Barbara responds, "No." And then you hear this child's voice say, "I did." Huh. And then Jenny says, "Did you feel a tug?" And Barbara says, "No."
Huh. "I did, huh? All right, here we go.
Did you just pull down the blanket?"
"No."
"I did."
"Yeah."
"Did you feel like a tug?"
"No."
That's so clear. You can hear a child's voice. Obviously, again, an unnervingly young child say, now bear in mind again, this is, I think this is really important. This demonstrates the contemporary, timely nature of the responses, which appear to be cognitive and aware and conscious. Listen.
"Did you just pull down the blanket?"
"No."
"I did." "Did you feel like a tug?"
"No."
That's the most important part, not to just repeat the "I did," but to hear the flowing nature of the conversation. This is so important, it seems to me, to what we're discussing.
"Did you just pull down the blanket?"
"No."
"I did." "Did you feel like a tug?"
"No."
No, and maybe that's the best evidence I've heard yet, you two, of the sort of rolling contemporary nature of this.
Well, it's definitely interactive. I mean, for anybody to say, "No, that's a cell phone transmission or radio frequency being picked up." I mean, the odds of that happening in that context is just nothing. I mean, there's no way.
What are you guys doing next? I mean, what's next for you? I know that you're very much into the digital world now, right?
That's correct. We're still experimenting with that. As I said, we have three of those. We also have all our original microcassette recorders. We're working on a variety of different investigations, both here in Utah and out of the state. We are investigating the prison in Montana right now, and scheduling to go back there very shortly.
That was a very scary but lucrative hunting ground for ghosts, eh?
Well, yeah. I mean, really, prisons are. And I think, like I said before, it's the mental capacity of the people that are there really, I think, helps them stay as ghosts.
Other than it's dark and it's cold in here and that kind of comment, even from children, have you received any EVPs over the years that indicate to you what it's like on the other side? Dark, cold, I've heard that. Anything else?
Snow. It was asked one time, "What is it like where you are?" And the response was snow.
Snow. So, it's just like cold.
Yes, it could be that. And, you know, and that's a manifestation that they display a lot of times with ghost activity. People report the drop of temperature, and we've experienced that ourselves.
Uh-huh. Oh, you have?
Oh, yes.
Rapid drop to the point where, you know, in the movies you can see your breath?
Not so much to where you can see your breath,
but it's a definite drop in temperature that you can't... there's no explanation of why it drops. We recorded a 30-degree drop.
30-degree. You've actually recorded 30.
With our
all right, you hold on. We're at the bottom of the hour. We'll be right back. Wow. 30 degrees. I'm Art Bell. This is Coast to Coast AM.
As the midnight moon is drifting through the lazy.
Kingdom of Nye, from west of the Rockies, dial 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 1-800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach Art at 1-775-727-1222 or use the wildcard line at 1-775-727-1295. To reach Art on the toll-free international line, call your AT&T operator and have them dial 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell on the Premier Radio Network.
It certainly is. Life may be a circle, or maybe not. Sometimes it seems like a circle, doesn't it? I've got Brendan Cook and Barbara Macbeth from the GIS tonight, and you're up next with them on the telephones. Well, all right, you two, you're listening to the GIS, who are actually Barbara and Brendan. That's Brendan Cook and Barbara Macbeth, and three others who usually don't appear on the radio. We'll have to get them on the air one of these days. Drag one of them in here. People are going to want to know how to get hold of you, and I don't want to complete any show with you without giving out an email address. And I would like to also ask you what you would like to hear from people. What would you like to hear from people?
Well, anything, really. Anything dealing with ghosts. Their stories, things that have happened to them. Obviously, if they've recorded EVP, we'd love to hear it. If they can send it in MP3 or WAV file format.
If somebody is living with a haunting and they're not particularly inclined to do this for themselves and they want to pay you guys plane fare to come and investigate someplace far away, can you do that?
Of course.
Have you done that?
Not extremely far away, definitely not overseas or anything.
Uh-huh.
But we do go as far as we possibly can.
Okay. Email address. How do they get a hold of you?
They can get a hold of us, at gis@ghostpicks.com or thegis@ghostpicks.com.
GIS, well, that's easier, shorter. gis@ghost, GHOST, picks, PIX?
That's correct.
.com.
Yes, and they can also use regular postal mail at P.O. Box 2383-84041-9383, Layton, Utah.
That's where you are, Layton, Utah, huh?
That's where our P.O. Box is.
That's not exactly where we're at.
I see. And you enjoy hearing from people.
Oh, yes. In fact, you know, when we get an overwhelming amount of emails, and it's just almost impossible to respond to everybody. If we could afford it, we should really hire a secretary.
A secretary, huh? Then everybody would get
almost impossible to respond to everybody.
They'd get rubber stamp replies if you did that. So it's just as well. This way, if you reply, at least it's from y'all. All right, first time caller line. You're on the air with the GIS. Hi.
Thank you, Art.
You're very welcome. Where are you, sir?
I am normally in Atlanta listening to you live, streaming from your website.
Okay.
But tonight I'm just listening to you on my cell phone. Sorry
okay.
about that. I know you hate it.
That's all right.
Miss your laugh, sir.
I would like to say that yours sounds better than the average.
Well, thank you.
And better than the average dead person, too.
I'm glad. You often fascinate and worry me, and
I worry myself, sir.
I would like to ask you about the worrisome part, just straight up. Are you taking this May 2003 issue seriously?
No.
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 I didn't know if you were hunkering down, if that had anything to do with it, or
no.
If just taking.
I'm not taking it seriously. I just put it up there because it looked really, really, really intriguing. So.
Yes, it is, and I listened to your program with Nancy Leader. As for your guests, I've enjoyed your program tonight.
Thank you.
And I'm originally from Louisiana, and whenever we would go out hunting ducks, we would always have decoys, and it sounds like sometimes you're able to interact. Have you ever tried anything as far as attracting the ghosts to you, either with different spectrums of light? And one other question before I hang up. They do make recorders that have the tape playback head just behind the recording head. It sounds like you'll always go back and listen later.
We're ahead of you, sir. They've already had one of those made for them, and they've used it to some degree already. So let me ask them about the other question instead, the one that what do you guys have to say?
We do use...
Duck calls? I mean, we call ducks, right? How do you call a ghost?
We do use different things to try to bait a response. We'll use, if we're at a location that has certain things laying around, we'll use, like props, we have used different light spectrums to see if we get any kind of response.
And has any of this, or even electromagnetic radiation, I mean, anything that you've done that you could definitively say has produced a reaction?
Yes, it has produced reactions.
Well, I mean, if you just look at the voice that we played earlier tonight, at the mortician's house, where we told him to interact with the boy, and he put down his child's toy, and the child says, "I see good, good."
Hey, buddy.
Okay.
This is one that gets me.
Okay.
You want to know the truth? That one bothers me more than anyone you've got.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, it's because...
Well, you've heard children. I mean, I have. I've heard children that sound just like that.
Yeah, I have too. And
that's why they're so bothersome.
Yeah, I think so. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with the GIS. Hello.
Hi, Art.
Hello.
When I was growing up in Northeast Ohio, my principal's name was Art Bell. 2 years ago, my buddy told me to listen to you, and I thought you were him for a while, but he didn't have no tea in front of
me. Go to my office now.
Yeah,
in my office, young man. In my office and sit.
Were you him?
No.
But
I remember.
I do, too. You know how everybody says I wanted to ask these guys a couple things. I was real curious about something. But you know how everybody says when they die, I'm getting so cold. Maybe it's because all the ghosts, the spirits from their relatives coming to greet them. You know how they say it's cold when a ghost comes.
Yes.
But you guys, Brandon and Barb, whenever we perceive something through our eyes, I hear that it hits the back of our eyes backwards and upside down. And maybe if we hear things, maybe that's the way we naturally perceive things, hearing backwards too. And we just interpret it with our minds to hear it frontwards, you know, and everything. And I was wondering too about the histories, like, if you've gone to any, like, mounds where there might be cavemen ghosts, or maybe ask if there's any ghosts from the future there?
No, we haven't done that regarding the cavemen. I mean, we do, very old places.
That's a pretty weird question. That's pretty interesting in a lot of ways. If you were to record, say, a cave person, maybe all you'd get would be a groan, like that groan you got.
That's very possible, yeah.
Right? I mean, that might be all that such a creature of that time would say or know to do. And maybe
that's,
it's all on the
true.
Other side.
That's true.
Maybe, in fact, maybe we share space with cave people on the other side. There's a thought.
There's possibilities to everything.
East of the Rockies, you're on the air with GIS. Hello.
Hi, Art.
Hi.
This is Leanne Schenectady, New York. I'm listening to you on 810 WGY.
Yes, indeed.
I had a question for, actually a two-part question for Brendan and Barbara.
All right, fire away.
I'm curious that all I hear is like one sentence for answers. Have they ever recorded more than just one sentence?
Really, the longest phrase that we have recorded is a sentence long. And we think it's because it is so hard for them to talk and to actually manifest themselves on tape or a digital recorder. It takes a lot of energy for them to do that.
Have you ever, instead of them interacting with you, have you ever caught them on tape interacting with each other?
Ah.
Yes, we have.
Yes, we have.
Can we hear some next show, next time
you're
on?
Yeah, I'd like to hear that myself. Can you give us an example, since we can't produce a recording right now? Can you give an example?
Yeah, there's a recording on our website of, there's a few of them. I'm
We've recorded a few. There was one in a restaurant that says there's completely two different voices. It's two men's voices, and one says, "Come here," and the other voice says, "What?" And there was just me and the restaurant owner, which was a woman, there at that time, and these were two men's voices.
Can you also give out the second part of your P.O. box? I didn't quite catch it.
Yeah. Are you ready?
Yep.
It's 84041-9383.
That's the zip code.
Layton, Utah.
Got it.
They wanted the P.O. box.
The P.O. box number.
Oh, yep. The P.O. box is 2383.
Got it.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, and take care. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with the GIS. Hello.
Hi, Art.
Hi.
And hi, GIS.
Hi.
I was wondering, by now, I would have thought you would have gotten maybe like recordings of people using foul language, either four-letter words.
We have. We just don't play them on the show.
Is it really bad?
Some of them are pretty right. They haven't been... They're just swear words.
Yeah. I mean, they're people. I mean, you have to look at them as people.
Yeah, that's obviously something we haven't aired for obvious reasons.
Oh, of course.
Also, have you recorded anything in a foreign language?
Before you move on, caller, how frequent is it? How frequent is bad language?
It's occasional. I mean, it's not as often as what you would think, but, I mean, we have recorded them. And we do record we have recorded voices in foreign languages that we don't know what they are.
I'm sorry, caller, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I was curious to find out about animals, too. Like, have you heard dogs barking or cats meowing?
Oh. Yes, we have.
Yes.
We have recorded dogs barking.
Really?
Dogs growl. It sounds like either a dog growling. There's one that we've got on our website. It almost sounds like a lion snarling.
Great.
There was one occasion where we heard a dog growling, and it never picked up on the recorder.
Great. Just great all the way around. Couldn't there be happy pets over there? Go ahead, caller.
I was going to say, the scariest one that I've heard that you played was the one that says hollow eyes or fake eyes.
Plastic eyes,
because that's a sense that they know that their body had that put into them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That, to me, was the creepiest one I've ever heard that you played.
Yeah, that was quite startling to us when we found out that was really something that... was used in, you know, in that field that they do that.
Because that's like a sense of them knowing.
Yeah.
It shows consciousness, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And awareness.
That was really, to me, that was real creepy.
Yeah. Staying alive sounds better, huh?
Right. Great short.
All right. Thank you. Take care. First time caller line, you're on the air with GIS. Hello.
Hi. How are you?
Okay, sir.
Good. I'd just like to ask a question. Have you guys ever wondered why there has to be physical proximity to the cemetery, or could you record these in any given area?
Yes, you could record these in any area.
Any area that would have ghosts, you know, a ghost activity taking place.
But do you think it's more likely in, like, cemeteries and places where, you know, I guess, I don't know, dead people have been, or how do you work?
Like
I'm just trying to figure out why.
It seems like places that are associated with death often has ghost activity taking place. We have gone to cemeteries, certain cemeteries, where we have not recorded any EVP, but on another day, if we would go back to that location, we might. Because we have gone to locations that are very active, we get a lot of voices, but we can return the very next day and not get anything there.
Right. You know, I've seen a lot of people pass on, and you can almost feel something, actually, when somebody passes on. I was wondering,
oh, I've heard that,
if you actually feel, well, I know you were touched, but do you actually feel like a presence near you ever when these voices are going on? And do you ever actually hear the voices?
There are some times that we do hear the voices. Very rarely do we actually hear it. And there are some times we hear a voice and it doesn't record onto tape for some reason.
Did you ever film any orbs or anything like that? Or
oh, yes.
We have, on our website, we have several videos that show... we have two apparitions on the website that we've recorded. And
do
orbs.
Ghosts ever take any form other than, like, white... orbs, or have you, in your experience, or is that basically what it is?
It's just white, but that may be just how we're looking at it, because when we see them, it's through the infrared, and it's obviously going to only appear in green, black, and white.
Huh. We have taken photos, though, of orbs in different colors.
That's interesting. And one last point. Have you ever considered that the lions and dogs you're hearing are demons and not... actual animals, because animals would be in an animal cemetery, I would think. Just a thought.
Oh, and what about a pet cemetery? How about...
We have gone to a pet cemetery.
Oh, you have?
Yes.
You have?
Mainly because it was adjacent to a regular cemetery.
It happened to be there.
And?
We didn't record in anything. We didn't get anything in that area.
Oh. Oh. That's too bad. Well, listen, I don't know how to thank you two for doing it again and doing it better than ever. This was really good. And I guess in the future, because you're doing it digitally, we have lots of good things to look forward to. And anybody wanting to get hold of these two, it's easy to do as close as your computer, GIS at ghostpix, that's GHOSTPIX.com, GIS at ghostpix.com. And you've got the... snail mail address and so forth and so on. So, as always, I want to thank you two for being here and providing a really freaky, totally freaky night of entertainment.
Thank you, Art.
Thank
you for having us on, Art.
You want to call that entertainment? I guess in a sense it is. Good night, you two.
Good night. Thank you.
And to take me out, here is Crystal Gale. Good night from the high desert.
Midnight in the desert, shooting stars across the sky. This magical journey will take us on a ride. Filled with the longing, searching for the truth. Will we make it to tomorrow? Will the sun shine on you? Oh. we heeding all the signs? Have we lost our intuition? Are we running out of time? Midnight in the desert, and we're listening. Ooh, we're listening to you.
Thought you might like to hear the whole thing. That's Crystal Gale, the beautiful Crystal Gale from the high desert. I'm Art Bell. Again, good night.